AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden and former President Trump will both be in New York City tomorrow. Mr. Trump will be in court in his hush money trial. Mr. Biden attending back-to-back fundraisers. Today, the president announced a $6 billion investment in Micron Technologies to build chip factories.
During the pandemic, folks everywhere learned about supply chains. You may remember we had a global shortage of semiconductors.
He says the factories will create thousands of jobs in upstate New York and Idaho. More than 30 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested today at Indiana University.
Our university and the state police, they decided to violently disperse the encampment that we had set up in solidarity with Gaza, in solidarity with Columbia and other schools around the country who are doing the same thing.
Student Bryce Green took part. Firefighters in Oceanside, California are battling a blaze at the city's famous pier. Stocks closed lower today. The Dow down more than 300 points. This is ABC News. Weekly jobless claims have fallen to their lowest level in 9 weeks. The Labor Department says 207,000 Americans filed first-time claims. That's down about 5,000 from the previous week. The April jobs report comes out next week. The mischief is not yet managed. Harry Potter's making a comeback.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
The 7 Harry Potter books have been turned into movies, an upcoming TV series, and several spin-offs. And now the books are getting new life with a new audio recording from Audible. The company will create audio recordings of all the books, not just with one person reading, but with a cast of over 100 performers. There will also be a new score, real-world sounds, the full immersive audio experience. No word who will voice the characters or when we'll hear the first book. Jason Athenson, ABC News. Hollywood.
Chicken's back on the menu for Chipotle workers. Last week, the fast food chain asked employees to pick another protein for their work meals to preserve the supply of chicken al pastor. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers leave Pittsburgh with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. PNC Park, the Brewers trailed 5-4. Top of the eighth, Pirates lefty Adrolis Chapman on the mound against his former Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez. Jeff Levering with the call, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
To right field, deep and gone! Pinch hit, two-run bomb, Gary Sanchez. On a 102-mile-an-hour fastball off the plate away. Wow.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Pat Murphy.
They won the game for us. Changed the momentum of the game. He did it off, you know, one of the best closers, and this guy's been doing it for a long time. And Gary, he came up big, man. You know, with William catching every day, it's been tough for Gary to get at bats.
So the crew leaves PNC with a split series in four games and returns home to host the Yankees tomorrow night. NFL draft underway. We'll recap the first round later tonight. From Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here the overnight with mid-30s by sunrise. Southeast winds on the breezy side. More clouds on the way Friday. There will be a chance of some showers, especially in the afternoon. Our afternoon highs will top out in the upper 50s. And, of course, it remains on the breezy side. It's 53 at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We'll talk about the overlooked accomplishments of the Biden administration and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, hey! Happy, what day is it? Thursday, right? Yes, indeed. Michael Dreeben, the counselor to Jack Smith, basically, to the special counsel, is arguing before the Supreme Court right now that Donald Trump and future presidents should not enjoy absolute immunity. The conservative justices, particularly Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, all seem to be arguing, and Roberts to some extent, that really we think maybe he should have immunity. It's getting really bizarre, and this is a major, absolutely historic. Right now, Neil Gorsuch is speaking. I'm going to play some. I don't expect this to last more than another 15 or 20 minutes. I'm going to play it for you so that you can just listen in on this moment of history. Here it is.
Ages.
Yes, and I think I would start by looking at the statutes.
That's Michael Dreeben, the attorney for the special counsel.
The president's conduct. And, for example, the statute that prohibits fraud to defeat the lawful functions of the United States. The statute defines what the purpose is that the defendant has to have in mind. It has to be to defeat something that the United States is doing, and it has to be by deception. I don't think that that gets us into the realm of motive hunting in the area where we are as concerned, I think, as the court would be about doing something that would undermine the presidency and the executive branch. And 1512C2, we may have different views on the clarity and the scope of that statute. I think if the court does interpret corruptly as involving a consciousness of wrongdoing and elevates that to consciousness of illegality, then we're in a different realm. Wanting to get reelected is not an illegal motive, and you don't have to worry about prosecuting presidents for that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dreeben.
Justice Kavanaugh?
As you've indicated, this case has huge implications for the presidency, for the future of the presidency, for the future of the country, in my view. You've referred to the department a few times as having supported the position. Who in the department? Is it the president, the attorney general?
The Solicitor General of the United States. Part of the way in which the special counsel functions is as a component of the Department of Justice. The regulations envision that we reach out and consult, and on a question of this magnitude that involves equities that are far beyond this prosecution, as the questions of the court.
So it's Solicitor General?
Yes.
Okay. Second, like Justice Gorsuch, I'm not focused on the here and now of this case. I'm very concerned about the future. And I think
this
one of the
Kavanaugh.
Court's biggest mistakes was Morrison versus Olson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a terrible decision for the presidency and for the country. And not because there were bad people who were independent counsels, but President Reagan's administration, President Bush's administration, President Clinton's administration were really hampered,
yes,
in their view, mm-hmm, all three, by the independent counsel structure. And what I'm worried about here is that was kind of, let's relax Article 2 a bit for the needs of the moment. And I'm worried about the similar kind of situation applying here. That was a prosecutor investigating a president in each of those circumstances, and someone picked from the opposite party, the current president, usually was how it worked. And Justice Scalia wrote that the fairness of a process must be judged on the basis of what it permits to happen, mm-hmm, not what it produced in a particular case. You've emphasized many times regularity, the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I think this applied to the independent counsel system, and it could apply if presidents are routinely subject to investigation going forward. One thing is certain, however, it involves investigating and perhaps prosecuting a particular individual. Can one imagine a less equitable manner of fulfilling the executive responsibility to investigate and prosecute? What would the reaction be if, in an area not covered by the statute, the Justice Department posted a public notice inviting applicants to assist in an investigation and possible prosecution of a certain prominent person? Does this not invite what Justice Jackson described as picking the man and then searching the law books or putting investigators to work to pin some offense on him? To be sure, the investigation must relate to the area of criminal offense specified by the statute, but that has often been, and nothing prevents it from being very broad. I paraphrased at the end because it was referring to the judges.
Yes.
That's the concern going forward, is that the system will, when former presidents are subject to prosecution, and the history of Morrison versus Olson tells us it's not going to stop. It's going to cycle back and be used against the current president or the next president and the next president after that. All that, I want you to try to allay that concern. Why is this not Morrison v. Olson redux, if we agree with you?
Well, first of all, the independent counsel regime did have many structural features that emphasized independence at the expense of accountability. We don't have that regime now, but even under that regime, Justice Kavanaugh, I think if you look at Lawrence Walsh's report on Iran-Contra, I think this goes to a very fundamental point for the court to consider. Judge Walsh said, I investigated these matters. The proof did not nearly come close to establishing criminal violations. So we've lived from Watergate through the present, through the independent counsel era, with all of its flaws, without these prosecutions having gone off on a runaway train.
I think President Reagan, President Bush, and President Clinton, whether rightly or wrongly, thought contrary to what you just said.
I think nobody likes being investigated for a crime, but it didn't result in the kind of vindictive prosecutions that I think Your Honor is raising as a possibility.
Yeah.
We have a different system now. I think there was a consensus throughout Washington that there were flaws in the independent counsel system. It lapsed. We now are inside the Justice Department with full accountability resting with the Attorney General. So the special counsel regulations now don't operate the way that the independent counsel regulations do. And this court would have something to say about it, I think, if the independent counsel statute were revived. I'm not sure that anybody is in favor of that.
Right. Now, I was just saying this is kind of the mirror image of that, is one way someone could perceive it. But I take your point about the different structural protections internally. And like Justice Scalia said, I do not mean to suggest anything of the sort in the present case. I'm not talking about the present case, so I'm talking about the future. Another point, you said, talked about the criminal statutes. It's very easy to characterize presidential actions as false or misleading under vague statutes. So President Lyndon Johnson, statements about the Vietnam War, mm-hmm, say something's false. Turns out to be false that he says about the Vietnam War. 371 prosecution?
So
after he leaves office?
I think not, but this is an area that I do think that merits some serious and nuanced consideration. Statements that are made by a president to the public are not really coming within the realm of criminal statutes. They've never been prosecuted. I realize that the court can say, well, what if they were? And then I think you get to what I would regard as a hard constitutional question that would probably guide the court away from trying to resolve today, although I do think it's very different from our case and distinguishable in important ways. But you're dealing here with two branches of government that have a paramount interest in the integrity and freedom of their interactions with each other. On the one hand, the president, of course, should be very free to send usually his cabinet officials and sub-cabinet officials to testify to Congress to provide them with the information needed to enact legislation and to make national policy. And we're very concerned about anything that would trammel that. On the other side of the equation, Congress has a compelling interest in receiving accurate information and, at the very least, information that is intentionally and knowingly false. Right. That would pollute the legislative process.
How about, I think it came up before, President Ford's pardon. Mm-hmm. Very controversial in the moment.
Yes.
Hugely unpopular, probably why he lost in 76.
Yes.
Now looked upon as one of the better decisions in presidential history, I think, by most people. If he's thinking about, well, if I grant this pardon to Richard Nixon, could I be investigated myself for obstruction of justice on the theory that I'm interfering with the investigation of Richard Nixon?
So this would fall into that small core area that I mentioned to Justice Kagan and Justice Gorsuch of presidential responsibilities that Congress cannot regulate.
How about President Obama's drone strikes?
So the Office of Legal Counsel looked at this very carefully and determined that, number one, the federal murder statute does apply to the executive branch. The president wasn't personally carrying out the strike, but the aiding and abetting laws are broad. And it determined that a public authority exception that's built into statutes and that applied particularly to the murder statute because it talks about unlawful killing did not apply to the drone strike. So this is actually the way that the system should function. The Department of Justice takes criminal law very seriously. It runs it through the analysis very carefully with established principles. It documents them, it explains them, and then the president can go forward in accordance with it. And there is no risk of prosecution for that course of activity.
Thank you for your answers.
Justice Barrett?
Mr. Dreeben, I want to pick up with that public authority defense. So I'm looking at the OLC memo that David Barron wrote that you cited in your briefs. And he describes the public authority defense citing the model penal code. There are a few different definitions, but I'll just highlight this one. Justifying conduct which is required or authorized by the law defining the duties or functions of a public officer, the law governing the armed services or lawful conduct of war, or any other provision of law imposing a public duty. That sounds a lot like dividing a line between official and private conduct. I think it's narrower, and I recognize it's a defense, not an immunity. But when you look at the definition of it, are you acting within the scope of authority conferred by law or discharging a duty conferred by law? I think it's narrower than Blassingame, narrower than Nixon versus Fitzgerald, but that's what it sounds like to me. Do you agree or disagree?
You know, Justice Barrett, I certainly understand the intuition that when you act outside of your lawful authority, you've kind of gone on a frolicking detour, you're no longer carrying it out. I don't really think that that quite works for presidential activity. The only way that he could have implemented the orders is by exercising his command.
We're listening to the Supreme Court hearing right now. Michael Dreeben is the attorney for Jack Smith, basically, for the Department of Justice. He's being questioned right now by Amy Coney Barrett. We'll continue with this, and I'll be explaining what you're hearing to you in just a few minutes.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And then after this, I believe Donald Trump's lawyer comes back to do another song and dance, so stay tuned.
Pay off your debt.
There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work, offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere. It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
My experience with Superbeats Healthy Heart Chews is that they're powerful for healthy blood pressure. They feature grapeseed extract, beetroot powder, and CoQ10. I feel like I'm doing something very good for my blood pressure and heart health every day when I take them. Plus, no pills to swallow. They taste wonderful. Paired with a healthy lifestyle, the grapeseed extract in Superbeats is clinically shown to be nearly two times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. The new Superbeats Heart Chews Advanced support healthy CoQ10 levels, too, an important nutrient for heart health. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles of new Superbeats Heart Chews Advanced and save 15% by going to GetSuperBeats.com and using the code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's GetSuperBeets, BEETS.com, and use
Use that code Tom. GetSuperBeats.com, code Tom. GetSuperBeats.com, that for this 30-day supply, free. GetSuperBeats.com's code Tom.
Need a more categorical.
Okay, we're back. We're listening to, I think to right now, Michael Dreeben. He's the attorney for the Department of Justice. He's arguing basically against the idea that Donald Trump should have immunity, and for that matter, future presidents. There's an awful lot of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin going on here. And, you know, what happens if clearly the conservative justices who, frankly, don't believe in democracy. These are people who think that aristocracy is the best form of government. I mean, that's the core, the key to the conservative worldview, in fact. Are of the opinion that Trump should be immune and that future presidents should be immune and that we should have something closer to kings in the United States. Whatever happened to the idea that no person is above the law? Yeah, good question. But back to the hearing here. This is Michael Dreeben. He is interacting with Amy Coney Barrett.
You would have to design a system in which the president would have to stand trial at the state and local level. It's certainly within the court's authority as a matter of supremacy clause law to find an immunity. But we have been talking here about at some length on the distinction between official acts and private acts.
Yeah.
That will have to be determined by some sort of a process. Any immunity defense that the court announces can still be met by a state assertion that we're prosecuting private conduct. You're going to have some process. I think having some legal process is not a reason to cast aside a nuanced system that actually looks at what protections are necessary as opposed to what would provide the absolute maximum insulation for former presidents, even if we acknowledge that it's highly prophylactic.
Totally agree, and I wasn't actually contrasting the absolute immunity rule. I was saying that if there was some sort of official private, there are consequences towards about making immunity. Okay, and since you bring up the private acts, this is my last question. So I had asked Mr. Sauer about on page 46 and 47 of your brief.
Yes.
You say even if the court were inclined to recognize some immunity for a former president's official acts, it should remand for trial because the indictment alleges substantial private conduct.
Yes.
And you said that the private conduct would be sufficient.
Yes.
The special counsel has expressed some concern for speed and wanting to move forward. So, you know, the normal process, what Mr. Sauer asked, would be for us to remand if we decided that there were some official acts immunity and to let that be sorted out below. It is another option for the special counsel to just proceed based on the private conduct and drop the official conduct?
Well, two things on that, Justice Barrett. First of all, there's really an integrated.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with this historic hearing before the United States Supreme Court. Stay tuned.
Working with
27
private
minutes past
lawyers to achieve the goals of the fraud. And as I said before, the petitioner reaching for his official powers to try to make the conspiracies more likely to succeed. We would like to present that as an integrated picture to the jury so that it sees the sequence and the gravity of the conduct and why each step occurred.
Dr. Marty Goldstein, first of all, I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans. Tell us about your background.
Well, I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973, but I had my own conditions that were genetically based. I was not eating well. Conventional medicine had no answer. I started to eat well. I got better. And that was the wake-up call to then apply it to what a dog and a cat should be really eating. Most of the pet food industry is not biologically appropriate to what a dog and a cat would eat, period.
Generally speaking, what are the best things that you can feed your dog?
If they're healthy, well-to-do, and they don't have any medical conditions, about 80% meat, and the rest, some vegetation.
What should you avoid feeding your dog?
Meat byproducts are not really meat. I don't even want to mention what they contain.
What makes Dr. Marty's dog food different from all the other premium dog foods out there?
Preservatives.
Yeah.
My food is preservative-free. There's many of the foods out there have preservatives which destroy the intestinal flora, and they are immune suppressive. My food meets all APCO requirements with only food. There's no additives. So we are literally simulating what a dog and or a cat would eat in nature with this. It's called food. What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
One thing that brings me joy is not only how much they love this, but how well they're doing just through the food. I mean, my life is complete. Well, that's all I can say.
That's great. Thank you, Marty.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden and former President Trump will both be in New York City tomorrow. Mr. Trump will be in court in his hush money trial. Mr. Biden attending back-to-back fundraisers. Today, the president announced a $6 billion investment in Micron Technologies to build chip factories.
During the pandemic, folks everyone learned about supply chains. You may remember we had a global shortage of semiconductors.
He says the factories will create thousands of jobs in upstate New York and Idaho. More than 30 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested today at Indiana University.
Our university and the state police, they decided to violently disperse the encampment that we had set up in solidarity with Gaza, in solidarity with Columbia and other schools around the country who are doing the same thing.
Student Bryce Green took part. Firefighters in Oceanside, California are battling a blaze at the city's famous pier. Stocks closed lower today. The Dow down more than 300 points. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin schools are turning to restraints and seclusion for discipline less often. The Department of Public Instruction says cases were down about 8% last school year. Tim Pirenboom is a DPI psychologist.
It's only supposed to be used as a last resort when the student's behavior presents a clear, present, imminent risk to physical safety.
The report says most schools reported zero cases last school year. High school athletes in Wisconsin will not get name, image, and likeness opportunities this year. A proposed amendment to the WIAA Constitution failed at a meeting of the governing body Wednesday. Executive Director Stephanie Hauser predicts the discussion is just starting. 31 states allow NIL deals for high schoolers, including Minnesota and Illinois. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Let's go to the movies. If you're looking for something to watch this weekend and no new films or TV shows grab your attention, why not go retro? The 1979 classic Alien is opening again this weekend. The release is to celebrate the film's 45th anniversary. Alien was directed by Ridley Scott and stars Sigourney Weaver, Veronica Cartwright, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. If you're lucky enough to live near a theater showing Alien, you will also be treated to an interview with director Ridley Scott before the showing of the film. Kathy Lee Gifford spoke to Entertainment Tonight this week about her new book titled I Want to Matter. Your life is too short and too precious to waste. Gifford said she finally found forgiveness for her late husband Frank Gifford's affair with a flight attendant. To be clear, the affair happened before Frank passed away. I love the way tabloids choose their words. Kathy Lee is an accomplished host and author and creator of Kathy Lee Casuals, which do not offer menswear. So rude. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies here the overnight with mid-30s by sunrise. Southeast winds on the breezy side. More clouds on the way Friday. There will be a chance of some showers, especially in the afternoon. Our afternoon highs will top out in the upper 50s. And of course, it remains on the breezy side. It's 53 at our studios.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
And when he said that, Amy Coney Barrett said, I agree with you, which I thought was interesting. Kavanaugh is taking the position, or at least it appears he's taking the position, that Trump should have a much larger provision of immunity. And that the reason for this apparently goes back to Kavanaugh having been one of Ken Starr's prosecutors who went after Bill Clinton in the Monica Lewinsky case, which didn't start out as Monica Lewinsky. It started out as Whitewater, as you'll recall. And then it went to this and this and this and this and this and finally Monica. And, you know, and he was saying, you know, Clinton didn't like that. You know, that you could argue that that screwed up his presidency. And Dreeben is like, well, you know, we don't operate under that law anymore, number one. And number two, you know, kind of so what? Gorsuch and Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, as far as I can tell, Alito, certainly Alito, definitely Alito. Thomas, definitely Thomas, whose wife was, you know, also an insurrectionist or has you know, been, people have alleged was an insurrectionist. Seem to be leaning heavily toward Trump's position. And, of course, Sotomayor and Jackson, Brown Jackson, and excuse me, pardon me. And even Amy Coney Barrett, I think, are backing up a little bit on this. But also, did I say Sotomayor? And Kagan, excuse me. So anyhow, let's go back to the hearings. Let's listen to what's going on here.
Set up those boundaries ahead of time as a function of sort of blanket immunity, allow each allegation to be brought, and then we would decide in that context.
My error. Yes, I thought this was Amy Coney Barrett. It's not. It's Ketanji Brown Jackson.
And I think it would be up to a district court to decide whether to go that route at this point in the litigation. He's put all of his eggs in the absolute immunity basket.
All right. And if we invite, you know, if we see the question presented as broader than that, and we do say, let's engage in the core official versus not core and try to figure out the line, is this the right vehicle to hammer out that test? I mean, I'd understood that the most, if not all, but most of the allegations here, there's really no plausible argument that they would fall into core versus not such that they are immune.
We don't think there are any core acts that have been alleged in the indictments that would be off limits as a matter of Article 2.
So if we were going to do this kind of analysis, try to figure out what the line is, we should probably wait for a vehicle that actually presents it in a way that allows us to test the different sides of the standard that we'd be creating, right?
I don't see any need in this case for the court to embark on that analysis.
All right. The final sort of set of questions that I have to do with what I do take as a very legitimate concern about prosecutorial abuse, about future presidents being targeted for things that they have done in office. I take that concern. I think it's a real thing. But I wonder whether some of it might also be mitigated by the fact that existing administrations have a self-interest in protecting the presidency, that they understand that if they go after the former guy, soon they're going to be the former guy, and they will have created precedent that will be problematic. So I wonder if you might comment on whether some of the caution from the Justice Department and the prosecutors and whatnot comes from an understanding that they will soon be former presidents as well.
I think absolutely, and I would locate this as a structural argument that's built into the Constitution itself. The executive branch, I think as this court knows, has executive branch interests that it at times asserts in opposition to Congress so that the proper functioning of the president is protected. And I believe that that value would be operative and is operative in anything as momentous as charging a former president with a crime.
And I would also say, I think, and ask you to comment on, you know, presidents are concerned about being investigated and prosecuted, and it chills to some extent their, you know, ability to do what they want in office. And that's a concern on one side, but can you comment on the concern about having a president unbounded while in office, a president who knows that he does not have to ultimately follow the law because there is really nothing more than, say, political accountability in terms of impeachment? I mean, we have amicus briefs here from Professor Lederman, for example, who says, you know, a president would not be prohibited by statute from perjuring himself under oath about official matters, from corruptly altering, destroying, or concealing documents to prevent them from being used in an official proceeding, from suborning others to commit perjury, from bribing witnesses or public officials. And he goes on and on and on about the things that a president in office, with the knowledge that they have no criminal accountability, would do. I see that as a concern that is at least equal to the president being worried, so worried about criminal prosecution that he, you know, is a little bit limited in his ability to function. So can you talk about those competing concerns?
So, Justice Jackson, I think it would be a sea change to announce a sweeping rule of immunity that no president has had or has needed. I think we have also had a perfectly functioning system that has seen occasional episodes of presidential misconduct. The Nixon era is the paradigmatic one. The indictment in this case alleges another. For the most part, I believe that the legal regime and the constitutional regime that we have works, and to alter it poses more risks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal, Mr. Sauer?
I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel, the case is submitted.
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Thursday, the 9th of May at 10 o'clock.
And welcome back. So that was the end of that. And, I thought it was just absolutely fascinating that the, well, as I said, I want to write about that this afternoon, that in my opinion, the justices, the conservative justices, are reflecting the classic conservative worldview that you can't trust the rabble, you can't trust democracy, you can't trust the little person. That's why you've got to carefully limit who can vote. That's why conservatives from the founding of the Republic have argued that basically only wealthy white men should be able to vote, and many of them continue to argue that to this day. And that, we have to have wise leaders that we defer to in all cases. This is the conservative worldview. The progressive or liberal or democratic worldview is that no man is above the law or woman, that, we elect people to serve us. We don't elect people to necessarily lead us. You know, the whole phrase public servant. And pardon me. I don't know why I'm coughing here. Pardon me. and that this is where we're going with this. So love to get your thoughts on this. There's one other Supreme Court case. This was yesterday, where Sonia Sotomayor was speaking about, you know, what happens when people, you know, when women cannot get an abortion. And the result of that is that they lose their ability to have children in the future, or, you know, that their health is harmed. And she's asking the question, you know, what man accepts that he must be dying before he receives medical care? Which is pretty astonishing. Is losing his reproductive organs an acceptable loss?
This is Sonia Sotomayor yesterday in the Supreme Court case where they were arguing before the Supreme Court, you know, this whole abortion issue. And here she
goes. Imagine a patient who goes to the ER with pre-prod 14 weeks. Again, abortion is accepted. She's up. She was in and out of the hospital up to 27 weeks.
Full
this
case.
Particular patient, they tried, had to deliver her baby. The baby died. She had a hysterectomy. And she can no longer have children. All right, you're telling me the doctor there couldn't have done the abortion earlier?
Again, it goes back to whether a doctor can.
This is the lawyer, Josh Turner, for Idaho.
That's a lot for the doctor to risk.
Well, I think it's protective
when,
of doctor judgment, Your
when
Honor.
Idaho law changed to make the issue whether she's going to die or not, or whether she's going to have a serious medical condition. There's a big daylight by your standards, correct?
It is very case by case. The example
that's
from,
the problem.
I'm kind of shocked, actually, because I thought your own expert had said below that
that's Amy Coney Barrett
were covered, and you're now saying they're not.
No, I'm not saying that. That's just my point, Your Honor, is that...
Well, you're hedging. I mean, Justice Sotomayor is asking you, would this be covered or not? And it was my understanding that the legislature's witnesses said that these would be covered.
Yeah, and those doctors said if they were exercising their medical judgment, they could, in good faith, determine that life-saving care was necessary. And that's my point, is a subjective...
But some
standard.
Doctors couldn't. Some doctors might reach a contrary conclusion, I think, is what Justice Sotomayor is asking you.
Right.
Imagine
and,
a patient.
And there you go. That was, you know, putting that was the essence of yesterday's argument. So I found it all fascinating, and you know, get your thoughts on it. I'm going to hit a break here, and then we'll pick up your calls on the other side of this break about, you know, your thoughts on what's going on with Trump. Also, David Pecker testifying this morning in a New York courtroom about Donald Trump. I'll bring you up to date on that too. So a lot going on. But I thought yesterday, Sotomayor, you know, what man accepts he must die before, or be dying before receiving medical care? Interesting. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
You know, I've been saying for years, if men could get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament. It's 46 minutes past the hour.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Let's get back to live music in the Lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103.
Yes.
Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's all.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale's going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from, anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, C-A-P-T-E-R-R-A.com, Capterra.com.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. Fresh dog food is everywhere right now, but is it the real deal or is it all hype? Well, for me, there are a few issues with it. Number one, it ships frozen, so you have to wait for it to thaw. Number two, you have to store it in the fridge, and once it's defrosted, it can expire pretty quickly. Number three, it's cooked, which can actually destroy a lot of the nutrients your dog needs. And number four, it's messy. You're a busy dog parent. You need a dog food that's great for your pup and easy for you to use. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy, Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's ready the moment it's mealtime. It's shelf-stable and dry to the touch, and so you don't need to squeeze it from a wet pouch. Plus, unlike most fresh dog food that's cooked with high heat, Nature's Blend is freeze-dried raw, meaning it has an optimum amount of nutrients that your dog needs for their health and happiness, and a flavor and texture they'll find irresistible. Save up to 54% off on Nature's Blend, plus get a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. drmartypets.com/THOM. Minutes past the hour, just getting your thoughts here on what we've been watching. I've shared mine by and large with you. We will have a little more nuanced perspective on all this in a little bit, but Bill in Clifton, New Jersey. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just keep getting reminded that the president doesn't have special privileges. The president has special powers, and he's like the rest of us when everything else.
Well, he does have some privileges associated with those powers, but one of those privileges is not to break the law.
Well, it depends what you consider privileges. It's just part of his job.
He's given free housing. He's given free transportation.
That's true.
He has a certain level of immunity for official acts that's established under law. Mm-hmm. He does have some privileges, mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. the point that you're trying to make, Bill, is that he does not have the privilege to break the law. As John Adams famously said long ago, although he didn't believe it, no man is above mm-hmm. the law.
Right. One other thing. Yesterday you were talking about the problem with people showing up at the emergency entrance doors, you didn't mention the fact that Reagan emptied the psychiatrist wards, federal psychiatrist
wards. Yeah, the psychiatric wards,
Right. And the court does have jails, most courts do, has a jail in the in it, and they can give Trump a timeout if they want and just put him in there for a while, let him stew when he's, and, you know, technically he'd be in jail. The other thing they could do is put him in one of those glass boxes like they did with Navalny in, you know, in Russia. And although he might,
wouldn't that be entertaining?
Right. He might kill over from his own stink, but anyway, anyway, I think that people are missing the point. You know, in the jury room, they have two things to do. They have to decide whether the defendant broke the law, and then they have to decide whether the defendant is guilty. And the person can have broken the law, but they can still say that, you know, it was a minor law, it was a traffic law, or whatever it
was. Or the defendant is mentally ill.
We're going to, or whatever, but they can say not. It's the only place like that's a little bit of a Supreme Court where they can decide on how to apply the law at the end. But that's jury nullification. When, like, you know, they all agree he broke the law, but one of them doesn't agree that he's guilty, you know. So there's two steps to it.
Good point, Bill. Good point. Thank you very much for that. CeCe in Northbrook, Illinois. Hey, CeCe, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I just want to comment on the Supreme Court argument, well, the case yesterday on abortion. I just find it appalling. I just don't know. This makes me think, I'm a black man, it makes me think of the Dred Scott case all the way. Just keep coming back.
People as property.
Yes, that Dred Scott had to argue that he had, he was a man, and he had the rights of a man. Now look at the women today. And before the court, they're having to argue that they're women, they have the rights of the woman as a, their own body.
Right.
And just the fact that we're having this conversation, that the, this maybe before the court is a success for the Republicans. And, I, you know, I actually was listening to the evening news. I wasn't paying attention to it until I heard Alito say something about a baby. And, you know, unborn baby. God, this dude is a total politician in a role. Yeah.
Well, he used that phrase over and over again in the Dobbs decision. He was just trying to blow his own horn.
Right. And so it made me tune in today. And now I'm understanding, okay, they're on another just as bad a case as the president above the law. It got even worse. It's like we're back to 1858 again.
Yeah.
And it's all because of these politicians in roles who call themselves honorable. And they're everything but honorable. I mean, just imposing their religious beliefs, Catholic beliefs. Here's a question for you, Tom, and I'll let you go. In 1965, thereabouts, when Kennedy was running for president, wasn't there some type of concern of him being Catholic? And that he would impose his Catholic.
Yeah, it was in 1960. The Republicans were saying that the Pope would be running the country. Yeah.
Where are we at now, Tom?
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right, CeCe. Excellent.
I'm sorry, but thankful to Biden that he's holding the
Who's also Catholic. But he's holding to, you know, to secular values, to what's best for America, not what's best for the Pope. I'm with you. CeCe, thank you. Excellent point. Brilliant. Thank you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at tom.tv without cost. That, podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at tom.tv, that's T-H-O-M.tv, to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv. Tag.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
Monday, April 29th on Nightlight, I welcome on Milwaukee.com entertainment reporter Matt Miller to talk about the Milwaukee Film Festival and civic media reporter and personality Melissa Kay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.